In the last shmooze we're going to have in the parsha, we have another shmooze, but this, the last shmooze is being taped. No shmooze is being taped from this point. Next shmooze is off the tape. On the record, off the tape. Monday. I want to discuss the parsha Korach. Obviously, it starts off. We have introduced to a new character we've not really met before. We've seen him already discussed. He mentioned the Torah once. We discussed the lineage of who gave birth to who. But which was from the Levium, this tribe of Levium. We saw a lot of the lineage already. But I want to discuss a little bit of who was Korach. Korach, we all look at Korach and his rebellion. He's this big Russia. Started up his whole different sect of religion, trying to start up. Kulam Kidoshim. Why is there only one leader? Was he a Rosh Hagamor? Was he a tzaddik? A guy who was very chacham? Was he a navi? Who was Korach? On one hand, we very much in the text, we're very sharp with him. He started a break off minyan and then some, and therefore that's certainly something against Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, how you can do it in the first place is a big chiddush. How can you go against Moshe Rabbeinu? But he started this break off, and therefore that's obviously a very negative thing. The Gemara Sanhedrin and the Kuf Tesmah Beis says, as it lists who doesn't get Olam Haba, it says, Adas Korach, Elam Chedek Olam Haba. It's pretty serious. Sounds like Mamre, sounds like a very a big Russia. And yet, at the same time, in the same Gemara, as we mentioned that Korach does not get Olam Haba, we mentioned a very strange Agadita. The Gemara tells over, and is based on the character that doesn't really appear much, but he comes up and quickly he pops up and he's never to be seen again, really, Olam Ben Pelos. Bnei Reuven. This guy Olin is on the scene, and he's originally part of the Chevra, and in the end, he doesn't make the mention of being among those who die with Adas Korach. And the Gemara tells you why. The Gemara fills in the blanks. The Kuf Tesmah Beis and Sanhedrin tell a little story. Olin Ben Pelos had a very righteous wife, and she mamash saved him. But listen to the conversation that they have. It's a very strange conversation. It says the Gemara. Amr Rav, Om Ben Pelos, Ishto Hatzilos, his wife's name. Amr Lay, she says to him, My Nako Chavina, what do you care about Korach? Imar Rabba and Talmidah. The Imar Rabba and Talmidah. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a Kohen Gadol, he's the Rabbeinu, Aaron's Kohen Gadol. Either way, you're working under them. Let's say that this Korach rebellion works out and he becomes the Kohen Gadol. You're working under him. Either way, what do you have to gain by this whole discussion? You're not gaining anything. What are you trying to make him to come out with being part of this cover? Allah, what does he say back to her? A very unfortunate answer. One that we've all probably said in our life at some point in time. He said, My Avid, you're right, but what am I going to do? It's a little late for me right now. I already committed to them. I committed. They were going on. I didn't think about this so well. I didn't consult you first. Way I should have. They were had this whole plan they hatched, and I've already committed to their plan. I can't not be part of their plan. Okay, it's a little bit of a shrach answer, but we've all said it at times. I already committed to that college decision. I already committed to rooming with that person. I already committed to it. Okay, I committed already, so I have to suffer for the consequences. So what did she back then? Amrelay. Listen, this is loud here. Yadana de kula kanishta kadishta nidum. Kol am kulam kedoshim, including Korach. They're kadosh. They're very holy Jews. These people. And I know, Amalei Tov, the Ana Matzil Nalach. Says, "You go. I'm going to save you." Ashki sechamra. She gave him to drink wine. He got drunk, fell asleep, and she stands by the door and takes off her head covering. And as everyone came by, she would pop out the door. Hey guys, no hair covering. They'd run away. Chasam, I shouldn't see a woman without her hair covered. Korach, the Russia we're describing over here, who is not even Olam Haba, is Machmir for Tznius. Olam Ben Pelos says, listen, I'm a man of my word. I made a commitment. I made a shvuah. She says, you know what? Let's make you drunk so you're not of the same mind and therefore you're putter for making your shvuah. They're so Machmir la'alacha. They're so careful of every detail of halacha. Unless they see a woman without her hair covered, they run away. I can't look. Oh, my Pell's wife, everyone, guys, you gotta go away from home. They're trying to wake him up. Okay, we can't go. They have a whole rebellion. You have to mock me to the halacha to the T. So what? Are they tzaddikim? They don't get Olam Haba for what they're doing, so they're clear not tzaddikim. So what happened to Korach? Where did he go wrong? The Kulam, she says about them, I know that Kol Aida, including Korach currently, after having rebelled already, he's still a Kadosh. we make of that? How do we understand Korach, the person Korach? Speaking to my friend last night, Rabbi Natan Leibowitz, he told me that often what you have is you have a word that's pinned to a person, like Vayishma Yisrael. Yisrael was a person who listened. Mashmur Shem Abba, the whole discussion, he was a person who listened. Vayelech Moshe, Moshe was a person who would go, he would do. And what's Korach? Vayikach Korach. Korach was a taker. He was a person who was very much looking to get. He was very selfish. A person who was all about himself. He even tried pinning to everyone else. What was bothering him? I should be in charge. He wasn't like, we should all be in charge. That wasn't, that may be how he presented it. But if you look in the Midrash and the Chazal, Korach says, it's not right. I should be the one doing this. And therefore, he had to spin it in a way when everyone else would join his rebellion. But it was him. And even when Olam and Peles, when his wife was talking, she assumed that Korach is going to win and become the Kohen Gadol next. Maybe. But he wasn't trying to get everyone equal. Even though there is someone I saw in Yaakov, the Iyun Yaakov says maybe he was really trying to make everyone Kohen Gadolim. But Pashim Shai is he was trying to become the next Kohen Gadol. He was a taker. He's someone who very much wanted to become the next piece, the next leader. And therefore, what's the difference between Korach and Moshe, said Omer Peles' wife. But he was all about taking this very selfish person. He felt like if I'm in charge, if I'm the person who's ahead, then I'm better than you are. If I'm the person who's in charge, I'm more important than you are. The truth is, most of us think the same way. But it's a very flawed, it's a flawed approach. You can take a muscle with, let's say, with basketball. So you have a guy, there's a guy that was a backup point guard. So now he's as important, and without him you would not win any games either. If the point guard needs to be replaced, needs to be spelled, let's spell the point guard a little bit, he has to come and take a break, take a breather. You have to have a backup point guard. If you don't have a backup point guard, you're not going to win the game. Now, who's more important? Who's more points? Well, probably the point guard. He had more points, probably more assists. But he's no less important to his team's winning than the backup point guard. So this way you have two units. You have the backup reserve unit, and you have the main unit. It could be one that will score more. But let's say hockey's much easier to understand. But hockey, you have four lines, three lines, whatever it may be, four lines. If you only had one line, the best players would never win a game. They'd be exhausted. Who has the better stats? Probably the front line. Probably the first line. But it wouldn't matter if you didn't have the other lines. There would be zero. There would be nothing. Korach feels who is better. So obviously the first line is better. Obviously the starting point guard is better. Everyone else is just a replacement player. They're just filling up space. We don't believe that. What's proof we don't believe that? Because we're chayav to keep how many mitzvahs? 613. But I can never do that because I'm not a Kohen. And because, you know, certain rules of Eretz right now are not shayach to us. I can never keep every mitzvah. I can't. Okay, so we have an idea. If you learn about the mitzvahs, like you're doing it yourself, nice try. But really, in theory, I can't do every single mitzvah. I'm limited. So what do? I am loving every single Jewish person. And if we're one unit, we're one body, then when you do a mitzvah, and you're a Kohen, and I'm on the same team as you, then I do the mitzvah also. And Korach feels, no, let's figure out who has more mitzvahs. If you have more mitzvahs, then I want to be like that. He refused to be a role player. And you have guys who play ball before, and who are great role players, but they don't want to be a role player. They want to be the guy who shoots the ball in the game time. They don't want to be the guy who sets the picks. They don't want to be the guy who's only the offensive lineman. I mentioned before, I think, and I'm not sure this year, but in years past, but there was a movie I saw, one of the most recent movies I saw was Remember the Titans. And there was a scene, there was a big debate, and there was a part of the racist part of the movie when they were having a racist discussion between the black guy and the white guy. I don't remember the name. It was Julius and
Will. White guy.
Sunshine. I don't know the name. Anyways. But the... I promise you I'll be short today. Whoever was between the other guy,
another coach?
Barcat? What's his name? Whatever.
Barcat.
Another player. What's his name? I don't remember. Anyways, whatever his name was. So they had a debate. The black guy was all about. This is not in general, by the way. I'm just saying this about this particular scene. It was all about getting the stats. Meaning, he would leave his position in order to make the tackle, even though his job really was sometimes to draw the defense. And they had a big debate. If you just fill your gap, then I'll make a tackle. No, but I want to make a tackle. So what you do is you may make more tackles than otherwise you would have, but there'll be a lot more long games you'll have because you left your position. Korach was all about that. Korach was the guy who wanted to make more tackles. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you don't understand, your job is to fill a slot. Your job is to fill a goal. I'm also filling a goal. God put me here to do this. God put you here. You're no less important than I am. If you don't do your goal, then I can't do my goal. If the blind side quarterback, the guy who's blind with the quarterback, does not fill his goal, that quarterback will get knocked out after a matter of a few plays, and it's over. He is extremely crucial for this guy's well-being, and both of them were created the way you're created as a big lineman. So fill your goal. That's your job. You're created as a quarterback, so you fill your job. You're supposed to throw the ball. You have a nice arm. But each one of us, because they are created in a certain way, and their job is to fulfill what you were created for. Every person, again, if you take the shot, and so that's what we talked about a little earlier today in the day, if everyone fights each other and argues, and so then you're right, and you're not going to be able to make 6-13. You can't get 6-13 mixes because we're not on the same team as each other. Just fighting and bickering and arguing, and this hashkafa, and that school you send your kids to, and etc. So then in the end, you're going to have separate Jews. As a separate Jew, we're flawed, we're lacking. The only way you ever could hope to have a full unit and keep studying mitzvahs if you have Jews, whether they're different, whether they're the same as you. Most people, hopefully, they're different than you. They should be different than you. You shouldn't have 100% everyone be you. And everyone has their own job. Everyone has to learn. Everyone has to do mitzvahs. But everyone does things with different strengths. And God created you with your strength. And you're not trying to fill someone else's strength. That would be a mistake. And Korach felt, listen, I want to be Kohen Gadol. But no, you're supposed to be Korach. You have your own job to do. And that was the debate. That was the butting of heads. And Moshe says to them, you don't understand, you're not supposed to get every single thing, you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. And he said, Rav Lachem. Now, I saw a wild shot, this is brought down by a few from our things down, is Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes to Davin, in the summer months, we're going to see Davin's Parshas Veschan, and he wants to get into Eretz Yisrael. What does Hashem say to him?
Stop.
What are the words he uses?
Before
that even. Rav Lach.
Too much for me.
It's too much for you. It's almost Rav Lachem. Moshe tells Korach, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu Rav Lach. So I saw in the quote of the Sefer called Shem and Rosh. Shem and Rosh has the following pshat. It says that what's Moshe Rabbeinu telling Korach? Listen, certain mitzvahs that you have to do, you worry about them. Don't worry about my mitzvahs. Aaron has his own set of laws. You have your own set of laws. I have my own set of laws. You worry about your own mitzvahs. My job is my mitzvah. Your job is your mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu, why do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Why do you want to go in? Not because he wanted to see the land. Why do you want to go in? So Chazal bring down
the mitzvahs.
There were mitzvahs to be had there that he couldn't do. And he says, I want to take part of those mitzvahs. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to quote you, Moshe. The same way you told Korach, Rav Lachem, B'nai Levi, or Rav Lach. This is not what I have in mind for you. I know you want it. I know you'd like to be the person who has done all of the mitzvahs and get a chance to do more. And I even appreciate where you're coming from. But Rav Lach, the same way you told Korach, everyone has their job, it's not your time anymore. Your time is up. And it's time for your shoe to take the next step in. And if you're a person who's all about the ego, you could never take that. You would fight like Korach did. Moshe responded, Korach didn't give up. He fought and he fought and he fought. Now, why did Korach make a mistake like that? What was the problem with Korach? It's because Korach, and so here's from the Mishnah and others, brings down that Korach's machlokas was not the Shem Shemayim. He wasn't trying to do the right thing. Maybe that's what he thought he was doing, but he was all about vayikach, all about taking. He didn't listen. Even Dasam Baviram, look what they say. What do they say about Shravenu? They say that even if you poke our eyes out, we'll never follow you. I mean, they became so irrational. They became so inappropriately irrational that their whole discussion became one of the most, what's the most I mean? Is that you don't listen to anyone else. You ever argue with someone? I'm sure you have before. I've done it myself, people in this room even. They just don't, you argue and they don't listen. I'm sure you're accusing me the same thing. You argue, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Yeah, you hear what I have to say. No, I know you have to say it right. No, you don't hear what I have to say, obviously. I'm sorry. Okay, so that's not about the Lashem Shemayim. What kind of about the Lashem Shemayim? If you won't listen to me, I'll listen to you. There's no Lashem Shemayim there. And then it's just a dumb machlokas, it's silly, and they're not getting anywhere. And that's something that's not going to be miskayim, the Mishnah Navos says. That's Korach and his followers. They didn't listen. Poke my eyes out, I still wouldn't follow you. What's wrong with you? Let's just talk about it a little bit. That was exactly what was going on with Korach. He wouldn't give the time, he wouldn't listen to him. I want to just close off with one last thing, or maybe two small things. The challenge we're going to face, or faces often in life, is when we have an opinion that we feel we're very strong and confident in, and someone maybe who cares about us comes to tell us another possibility, another side of way of looking at it, and you're not going to want to hear them out. And you feel like you're right, and they're wrong. And it's very hard for you to overcome this feeling. It could be about anything. It could be about your hashkafa in life. It could be about... And I'm not telling you have to overcome, but you have to listen to someone telling you. there's this famous story I heard of Pesach Torah a long time ago. There was a pilot that was flying, and he developed, in the middle of the flight, he developed vertigo. And which means that he basically lost up and down, he couldn't figure out where he was, and his plane was upside down, and he didn't notice it, because he was very confused, his balance was off. And he looked at his, not odometer, but the thing that recognizes how high you are, or low you are, and he saw that the number was going down, he was getting close to the ground. So what does he do naturally? He pulls up. Problem is that he's right now facing upside down. As he pulls up, he starts to go, and he sees the numbers moving lower and lower. He's like, what's going on here? He thinks he's going the right way. And yet, he sees the numbers, and the numbers tell something else, and all of a sudden he gets in his ear a guy from the tower saying, you're upside down. You have to push down. And he's like, push down? If I push down, I know the numbers tell me one thing, but my head tells me something else. I, right now, in my mind, if I can imagine pushing down, if you think you're going down and you push further down, it's an impossibility. And he's faced with the following inner struggle. Is that he sees something that looks a little off. But in his mind, he would have to pull up to save his life. And someone else is telling you, in your ear, if you pull up, you're going to die. You must push down, which to him is hurling himself to instant death. So that's what you pull right now. The numbers don't match up to what I think is happening right now. But the push down, which to me is heading even further down, is going to be instant death. What am I going to do? And in that moment in time, you're stuck. And it all depends on one thing. Is how much do you trust the person in your ear? If you trust that guy, so then you should listen to him. If you trust yourself more, then obviously you're going to reject him. The problem is that most of the time, you're the worst person to trust is yourself. Most of the time. Why? Because you've already judged and made an opinion, and you're completely biased in what you want to happen. You're completely biased because you already have a heart that wants certain things, and you've made a decision right now based on that. And every argument you take from this point forward is all with a biased sense of view. And Korach really wanted, he claimed he really wanted to help people out, but he also wanted to be in charge. And therefore, every point he raised from that point forward, even though he's a tzaddik in certain ways, he would never look at a girl with her hair uncovered. Obed Bell's wife, guys, get away. You can't look at it. He was mama, she thought he was doing good. And every person in his group thought they were doing good. But they were all 100% biased what they were doing. I'll tell you one last Gemara, and then we'll sum up. The Gemara brings down a Makos Av Yudah Aleph Mal Aleph, very bottom. How they told the story before. This was what I thought of 3 years ago. This time of year, I spoke under one of my students' chuppos, and I said this a shot over. The Gemara brings down and says that David Melech was building the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash. And he started to dig and dig and dig, and by accident, he popped the cork that was in the world, like we had today with the oil. So he popped the cork, and he unleashed the waters of the Tahom started to gush forward. He knocked the cloud of earth that was keeping the waters in, and started to flood and flood and flood. And he looks around, and he realizes we're in big trouble right now. This water is not going to stop us. The Tahom is going to keep on going. We're going to be all flooded out. And he said, does anyone know? Would I be allowed to take the Shem Hashem? He asked him, as the water is building up on them, can I write the name of Hashem on a piece of paper to throw it down there and save us the same way that we were able to do with the Sota, the woman who was suspected of being an adulteress? I can erase the name to save her and the marriage between her and her husband. Can I write the name of Hashem and throw it down the waters here, and maybe the waters will also spare us? And no one answered him. And he said, I'm telling you right now, if anyone here knows the answer, doesn't tell me, I curse you, you should die of death and strangulation. And a guy named Achitofel, one of his people on his cabinet, raised his hand and says, I think you could. And he gave the Kal V'chomer, that David Melech, he asked, can I do that? And he said, Kal V'chomer, you should be able to write the name of Hashem for the same reason, Kal V'chomer, that would happen with the wife when she's an adulteress, an accused adulteress, you can write the Shem Hashem, and she drinks it and it saves her life. So do here as well. But I don't understand this Gemara. David Melech knows there are only three sins you die for. And this is not one of them. Shem Hashem, raising God's name is not one of the sins you die for. Adultery, idolatry, and murder. Is it not a no-brainer? If it was even a suffix, if it was even a question, maybe this would work. You're chayav to do it. You have to erase the name. If someone's sick on Shabbos, you have to break Shabbos and go and help them out. It was only a suffix because of nefesh. What in the world was the question no one was even asking? Write the name of God down, throw it in there. It's not one of the big three. What's the question? Why did he ask someone else? And the answer I wanted to say is because David HaMelech knew what he wanted the answer to be already. He knew. I want the answer to be that I can do this because I want to save the world. I want to save myself. I think it's right. And therefore he says, because I know what I want the answer to be already, I can't make a decision. I can't do it. I'm biased. I pull myself out of being the Dayan, and I'm asking someone else from the crowd if they give me an answer that I can appreciate, that will back up what I think anyways, then I'll take it. Now, they were also biased. Right now, there's no one who wasn't biased. But he refused to decide for himself because he knows that I'm a biased person. In life, every single one of us is biased. I like to go this place for eating. I want to do that thing. I want to go, I see my life go in this direction. I want to be with that girl. Everyone was biased. And therefore, when it comes to making the decision, and you're that pilot, you can be upside down sometimes, and you won't even know it. And you think, I got to pull up. And you don't understand that you're heading deeper and deeper into oblivion, and you're going to be crashing in a moment from now. And then you hear a voice in your head, someone saying to you, you're all wrong. You got everything mixed up. How confident are you in yourself? How certain are you that your perspective is right? When someone tells you, I think you're making a mistake, it's a grave error. Why do you think you're right? Okay, it depends on how much you trust that guy. If he's a stranger to you, you don't think he cares about you at all, I understand why you wouldn't listen to him. But I don't understand why you would think that your biased opinion is better than his, I guess, less biased. I'm sure he's also biased. He cares about you also. Korach didn't pick up on this point. They were so firm. They wouldn't look at a girl with her hair uncovered. At the same time, they couldn't see Rav Lachem, that you have a job. Your job is different than your job. Don't look at him, look at yourself. You, whatever God gives you, you do that thing. And you're instrumental and crucial to the success of Klal Yisrael as a whole. The moment you lose sight of that point, it's over. And you can take your upside down plane and you're going to pull up as you think you should do, and appropriately so, you think you should do it. Because you have vertigo and you're completely off in your radar. And if you're not going to trust someone in your ear saying, listen, you got to change it around, you're making a grave error right now, then there's only one thing that can be guaranteed, and that's what we see with Korach. There will be an opening up of land. The last thing you know, well, it won't be about us, hopefully, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin, despite how firm they were, says that Korach and his whole generation, because they had machlokas, shloshem shemayim, but they couldn't see Moshe Rabbeinu, they couldn't listen, they rebelled against the grace we ever had, they lost their entire chelek in Olam HaBa.